Michael Ivey, and I'm one of the junior leaders at Hexham Community Church. It is truly an honor to be here with you this morning. Today, I want to focus on God being full of compassion is what I want to talk about. And that if you're taking notes, the title of today's talk is God is a God of Compassion. That's what he is. So if you have your Bibles, if you could please turn with me to John chapter 11, verses 17 to 44. That is John chapter 11, verses 17 to 44. And I'm reading out of the NIV this morning. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Let me get right. We are sorted now. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had quickly got up and went out. Oh no, where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house comforting her, notice how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So, after reading the text, here are, to me, a few descriptions that I took away from this passage. The first is that this man, this is Jesus the Christ, who was and who is to come. He is the King of glory, the image of the invisible God. He is the incarnate Word. What was spoken became flesh. He is the giver and sustainer of life. He is fully God and fully human at the same time. He sympathizes with us in our weakness, and he gives us strength in our time of need. He is a God of mercy, grace, truth, love, and kindness. But out of all these things, the biggest thing that I took away from this passage is that Jesus is a man of compassion. Jesus, who is a perfect high priest in the order of Melchizedek, knows and understands what it is we go through, because every emotion and every feeling that we have experienced or are currently experiencing Jesus himself experienced it. Jesus here in John 11 had compassion for Martha and Mary, and he looked to comfort them. Did you know that the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35? And it says, Jesus wept. He cried. The Son of God, the King of glory, cried. The Greek word for this means that he cried silently. Literally, he shed tears. God is full of compassion and mercy. In John 4, Jesus tells us that he could only do what he saw the Father doing. So what I take from that is that in that moment, God the Father was crying with God the Son. God rejoices when we rejoice. God mourns when we mourn. God has emotions. God has feelings. He does. And he rejoices with us when we rejoice. And he mourns for us when we mourn. He has feelings. He has emotions. So God, who is full of compassion, he acts out of compassion, is a common theme throughout Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, it is a common theme, God acting out of compassion for his people. So one example I can give is Hosea. If you've never read the book of Hosea, I would encourage you to do so. The theme of the book is Hosea proclaiming God's compassion and covenant love that cannot let Israel go. You see, Israel around 800 BC, that's a long time ago. That was before I was born, but that was a long time ago, just barely. So around 800 BC, and for the most of its history, had a problem that you and I might face today. And their problem was that they turned to false gods and that they had idols in their life. For us, that may not look like Asherah poles or worshiping Baal. That might be materialistic things like money, job, what kind of job we have, what kind of car we drive, what kind of house we live in, where we live, what kind of community we live in. That might be elevated above God. Oops, big feet. So what things in our life is taking the place of God? So back to Hosea, to God, at this point in time, Israel was in deep, deep sin. Okay? To give a little bit more context, this is essentially around the time when the Assyrians came to conquer Israel. The northern kingdom specifically, after the split. So at this stage in Israel's history, according to the law, God had the right to destroy Israel completely. He did, according to the law. Because their sin, they're in so much deep sin. Okay, that's cross-reference Deuteronomy 21. But God didn't do that, nor did he want to do that, because that wasn't his heart. The pinnacle part of the book of Hosea comes in chapter 11, verses 7 to 9. It's 11, 7 to 9. Look, gotta love technology. It says, my people are determined to turn from me. Even though they call me God Most High, I will by no means exalt them. And then he goes on to say, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboiim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. So as we can see, and as God has demonstrated, God withholds wrath for the sake of his compassion. But that doesn't mean that a price was not to be paid. There needed to be bloodshed so that we, you and I, could have salvation. And that came in at the cross, where Jesus took up the cross, that he joyfully took up the cross to obey his Father so that you and I could have life, salvation to the full with God the Father, God the Son, and with his Holy Spirit forever. Forever. The greatest example in Scripture that shows God as a God of compassion can be found at the cross. Again, so that we could have salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that through Jesus we have life, and life to the full. That's compassion. To see God as a God of compassion, we continuously need our hearts softened by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Other stories in the Bible that demonstrate God's compassion, first one can be found in Exodus 3. If you're familiar, the story of Exodus. Exodus 3, 7 through 10 says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Jebusites. That's a bunch of ites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Another passage can be found in 1 Samuel 1, if you're familiar with Hannah. Hannah was a woman where her womb was closed, and she could not bear children. And I think Peninnah was the other wife, and she poked fun at Hannah because she couldn't bear children. But Hannah poured out her heart to God. If you're mourning, rejoicing, wherever you're at currently in life, let me encourage you to pour out your heart to God. He knows you, he sees you, and he wants to be close to you. The Bible says that God is a God of all comfort. All comfort. Let me encourage you, pour out your heart to God and let him comfort you. So Hannah pours out her heart to God because she cannot bear children. God, in his grace and out of compassion for Hannah, heard her prayer and gave her a son who would become the last of the judges and the prophet. Not the prophet, a prophet. Who would help to start the Davidic kingdom and King David. So why is it important for us to see and to understand that God is a God of compassion? Because I think we need to understand, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, that God is good in and out of every situation. And God is always for us. Always for us. If that wasn't the case, Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross for our sins. If God wasn't for us, there would be no purpose to Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. None. He is for us, and he loves us. We need to know the Father's heart for us as individuals and for his people. God is love, and God loves us. So what exactly does this mean for us? Well, we are to be compassionate to others as God is compassionate with us. When you look at Jesus in John 11, you see that he was deeply moved and that he acted out of his compassion. Even the Jews said, look how he loved him. Look how he loved Lazarus. It was out of his compassion and sadness for Martha and Mary and his love for Lazarus that he was able to comfort them in their time of need. Again, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4a says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles." In the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of joy, God is gentle, kind, and he walks with us every day. The point of the cross was that we could have relationship with God every single day. Not that we wouldn't have to go to the temple once a year and sacrifice a couple of goats, a couple of sheep, and maybe a pigeon, just so we could have a relationship with God. But Jesus, being the perfect sacrifice, died on the cross for us so that we could have a relationship with God every single day. Every single day. So in turn, in compassion, we in turn need to show the same to others. There are people hurting in this world. That's the fact. There are people hurting and in deep pain. We need to love them. Have compassion for them. So to be compassionate with others might mean that we go out of our way for people. It might mean that we need to go that extra mile just as Jesus did. When it comes to evangelism, compassion is a key role when it comes to sharing the love of Christ. The Apostle Paul says that he became all things to all people so that he may win some for Christ. Compassion is not just a piece of advice, but it is so much more than that. To where it is a command almost. If we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, then we are to walk with people through the valleys as well as journeying with them through the peaks as well. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." So as you can see, God's grace and God's compassion go hand in hand. And we need to have a heart of compassion for people. We need to have a heart of compassion for the lost. So how do we go about having a heart of compassion? Well, I believe it comes plainly from an encounter with Jesus. Very plainly. Also, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's role is that he looks to soften our hearts and the hearts of those around us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Every day we need the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh and to help us be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world. It is not by our own strength that we can show compassion to others. If so, we become tired and weary. We do. We get dry. But it is the Holy Spirit that helps us and gives us strength to show compassion to others. If we had hearts of compassion demonstrated through action, what would our communities look like? You know, I believe it will send shockwaves through our community, ours included. For the sake of the gospel. Zechariah 7:9 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty said, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another." Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Again, if we don't know what compassion looks like, all we have to do is look to Jesus. And he'll help us. So again, if you're mentally, emotionally, physically, if you're struggling this morning, if you're suffering this morning, I'm here to say God wants to comfort you. He does. He wants to comfort you. He is a God of all comfort. If you're looking for healing, for a touch from the Lord, Kate and I would love to pray for you. We would. But you're struggling again with that suffering of mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever. If you're at a point now where you're feeling dry, you're a little bit weary, you're a little bit tired, and you need a touch-up, a refilling of the Holy Spirit, Kate and I would love to pray for you. God is a God of compassion, and He is so for us. In the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, God walks with us through that. His promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's true. In and through every circumstances, through the highs and through the lows, God walks with us and He journeys with us through these things. So let me just pray for us. And yeah, if you would like prayer, please come see Kate and I. We'd love to pray for you. So, Father God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, God. Thank you, God, that it was your good pleasure to take up the cross to bring salvation for us, God. Thank you, God, that you love us, Lord, that you know exactly what we go through. Lord, you know the exact thoughts in our head. Lord, currently you know the very words formed on the tip of our tongue before they're spoken. Lord, thank you, God, that you know us intimately. Lord, and that you long to draw us close to your heart and into your arms. So, Lord, I just want to pray now, Lord, for those who are mourning, for those who are rejoicing, wherever people are at, God, I pray, Lord, that you touch their hearts right now, Holy Spirit. Tug on hearts, stir hearts, Lord, and soften hearts, God. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear what it is you're doing, God, and where it is you're at. Thank you, God, that you are a God of grace, that you are good, and that you are for us, Lord. In all situations, God, you are good, and we declare that this morning. Thank you, O Lord. Bless your name. Amen. God bless you guys.